Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Good evening, church. Let's try that again. I know we pondering the depths of the gospel, but good evening, church. It's a bit better. If you have your Bible with you, please open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have considered the last few weeks the question, where is God in the church? Where is God in the church? First, we considered the Son of God in the church, Jesus as our pioneer, Jesus as our head. We continued with the presence of God in the church, how by God's design, through Jesus Christ, he has so chosen to dwell within the church. Last week, we considered the unity of God in the church, some of the oneness that we ought to have by reflecting on how our God is one. If you were listening last week, or if you read the bulletin on Friday, you should be expecting us to conclude with the beauty of God in the church. The idea behind that was the church is as a city set on the hill that God uses to shine out his beauty into the darkness of the world. That idea evolved into what we will conclude with tonight. That is the voice of God through the church. We don't believe in the evolution of apes to humans, but between Friday and Sunday, we believe in the evolution of a preacher's sermon. The voice of God through the church. The church being held as a mouthpiece to the lips of God, proclaiming his gospel unto the ends of the world. The voice of God through the church. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Just thus far, in God's word, let us pray. Lord, we have raised our voices in song in faith that our God hears us. We have heard testimonies of faith expressing that in faith you have given unto us salvation through your gospel. Now, O Lord, with our Bibles open, we lend you our ears that you would, in faith, that you would once more speak unto your people. So, Lord, please, I ask, speak. Please, I ask that your truth would prevail against our stubborn hearts. Please, Lord, I ask that you, your truth would prevail despite the weakness and inadequacy of the messenger. Oh, Lord, may you be glorified this evening. May Christ be lifted high. May your church know something of who their God is. Please, oh Lord, I ask this in your name. To your glory I pray. Amen. I want to propose to you two things this evening. Number one, the church should proclaim the gospel. Number two, when the church proclaims the gospel, God speaks. When the church proclaims the gospel, the voice of God is heard. Number one, the church should proclaim the gospel. I want us to consider this thing called the gospel. That this thing that is of first and primary importance that Paul shared with the Corinthians. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He then went on and he appeared to many witnesses, even unto Paul, unworthy as he was because he persecuted the church. This thing called the gospel, it ought to be at the very center of what the church is about. Thus it is written, this is Jesus speaking in Luke 24, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance of the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, you will find Peter sharing the gospel. Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up. That's the gospel. Peter says, we witness the resurrected Christ. They heard this. They heard the gospel. They were cut to the heart, and then they asked the question, what then? What shall we do? This was the response, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's Acts 2. Acts 4, Peter continues, before the rulers and elders and scribes and chief priests, high priests. They want to know how it was that a crippled man walked. Peter gives them the gospel. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The gospel. Philip in Acts 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch asks him a question about the scripture he was reading, and then it says this. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with that scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Acts 13, even Paul gets in on the action. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. A few verses later, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. It goes on. Paul to the church in Colossae. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Peter to the churches in 1 Peter 3 verse 15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Not all of us have to stand here. Not all of us have to prepare 30-minute sermons. In Acts chapter 6, there's structure that's put in place that allows some to teach and some to take care of more practical tasks. In Corinthians, we see some of the variety of the gifts in the church, and that's okay. Not everyone has to be a preacher or an evangelist. But the gospel is at the center of all that the church does. Outside of the gospel, the church does not have its members who are saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And outside of the gospel, the church will be found lacking in its commission to reach the ends of the world. We cannot content ourselves. The church should not content itself with existing outside of the proclamation of the gospel. This gospel thing, this is what we have to offer the world. Along the way, there are other things the church should concern itself with. We ought to give to the poor. We ought to concern ourselves with the hungry, the thirsty, the needy, the sick, the prisoners. We ought to care for the widows, the orphans. We ought to be peacemakers. As far as is possible, we ought to be at peace with those around us. We want to live honorable lives, even amongst non-believers. All those things ought to happen within the church. But all of those things are in vain if you leave out the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you feed someone's stomach for a day, but be content in condemning their soul to hell for all of eternity? Along the way, we may have a host of activities and interests and even opinions. We can play soccer together or cricket or run marathons together. Along the way, you may go hunting together and go on camps together and do stuff together. You may choose to worry about global warming and recycle things together. You may get involved in politics or business. You may try to make this country a better place. But at the end of the day, this is of first and primary importance. The gospel needs to be heard. Believe me, history tells of many countries, many lands that prospered. And yet even in their prosperity, even when most people had food and jobs and their problems were less, even in those things they lost sight and so too they lost sight of God and so too they lost their souls. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Along the way on Friday, I taught maths to one of the youth. I haven't touched maths in 10 years. And so my maths isn't that great. But after the theorem of Pythagoras, there was the gospel. Along the way, you see, we may do many things, but church, we cannot forget the gospel. We cannot let any of those other things replace this thing that is central, this thing that is our heartbeat, this thing that is of first and primary importance. Church, we are about the gospel. Quote from Charles Hodge. I'm going to give you three quotes. They all say the same thing. But repetition hopefully carries us forward. Charles Hodge, the preaching of the gospel is the chief means by which the church fulfills its duty. The first and most pressing duty of the church is to cause all men and women to hear the gospel. Charles Spurgeon, the great object of Christian ministry is the glory of God. Whether souls are saved or not, if Jesus Christ is faithfully preached, the minister has not failed. For he is a sweet savor unto God, as well as in them that perish, as in them that are saved. John Stott, if the church is to expand, it must embrace as its foremost responsibility the chief task of taking the gospel into the entire world and making disciples of all nations. A gospelless church is no church at all. It is my fear that this land is filled with gospelless churches. May it not be so of us. Number one, the church should proclaim the gospel. Number two, when the church proclaims the gospel, the world hears God's voice. The world hears the voice of God. Why do I make this point? We are not just creating noise for the sake of noise. I asked ChatGPT for the worst music artists ever. Now, obviously, that's subjective. But anyway, one of the names it gave me, just making sure I get it right, Lil Pump. Lil Pump. I've never listened to Lil Pump's music. Maybe it's wonderful. I don't know. It doesn't matter if you listen to Lil Pump or Adele or Beethoven even. That noise in your ear, it cannot save you. The gospel is not noise. It isn't a TED talk. It isn't a support group. It isn't your therapist telling you to meditate for a couple of minutes a day and pop a pill here and there and go for a jog and feel better about yourself. It's not that. I would remind you of first and primary importance, Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and up from the grave he rose on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to many witnesses. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's Romans 1. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he comes not with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and Christ crucified, except the gospel. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 2. We have Christ leading us in triumphant procession, and through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. Through us, he spreads the gospel everywhere. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance of death to death. To the other, the fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not. We are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. For since in the wisdom of God, The world did not know God through wisdom, but it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God, the gospel shared, it is more than just noise. You heard the testimonies of those getting baptized tonight. They aren't getting baptized because they're excited about noise. They are getting baptized because someone, somewhere, took the time to share the gospel with them. And maybe somewhere, sometime, someone else took the time to further explain the gospel to them. But somehow, in the mystery of God's wondrous ways, it so pleased him through what was said and explained, the verse of the eternal God spoke. And they heard, and they believed, and they confessed, and thus a soul was saved by the power of God through the proclamation of the gospel. When the church busies itself with gospel ministry, the world hears God's voice. Some will reject it. Some will reject it, a fragrance of death to death, but some will accept it, a fragrance of life to life, the power of God unto the salvation of souls. When the church busies itself with gospel ministry, the world hears God's voice. Let's apply these things. We need to ask ourselves as a church, how's it going proclaiming the gospel? We need to ask ourselves as individuals, how's it going? How's it going being part of gospel ministry? Is gospel ministry something that's important to you? Are you feeling at all compelled by the love of Christ? Are you so moved? Are you so convinced that one man, the God-man Jesus Christ, died that all may live? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe there's no other hope? Do you believe that the Christian God is the only God? Do you believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? That he is the way, the truth, the life, that no one gets the Father except through him? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? For the sins of the world? Do you believe that pimps and prostitutes and thieves and murderers and liars and revilers and sinners and hypocrites like you and me, do you believe that whosoever accepts the gospel of Jesus Christ and believes in their hearts and confesses with their mouth, do you believe they can be saved? Or, we heard this earlier, do you have to grow up in a Christian home? Is that the only way to be saved? Do you believe that when you open your mouth and you share the gospel, do you believe that God speaks? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about some funny deep voice coming out of you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about when you invest in gospel ministry, when you send missionaries to Japan and Ecuador and Africa and Asia, do you believe that they are going on an adventure, or do you believe that God saves souls through the proclamation of the gospel? When you join E3 and you go out and you share the gospel and you learn these steps and these structures and these questions, do you believe that God through his church is still in the business of saving souls? When you go to your school, your university, or even your job, and you open your mouth and you tell people about Jesus and you pray with people, do you believe that God can still speak and save souls? When you're with your friends and family and you share the gospel, do you believe God speaks? Now, I'm not saying these things because it's easy. I need to be reminded about it daily. That's why every time I preach, I ask, please, God, speak to us. Every time I prepare a sermon, every time I go about Bible studies, every time I meet with a student who has zero interest in hearing about the gospel, every time I open my mouth and share the gospel, I need to remind myself that God speaks through His church. This is His design. How will they believe if they never hear? How will they hear if no one is speaking? How will they speak? How will they hear if no one is speaking? Who will speak if we, the church, neglect the preaching and sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are ambassadors of Christ. God making His appeal through us. We beg you, we implore you, the verse goes, we beseech you on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God. When last did you plead with someone on the grounds of the gospel? A quote, I've heard it preached here before, but I'll say it again. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. That's Charles Spurgeon. Church, we need to be about this gospel thing. Church, we need to be about this gospel thing. Unbeliever who stumbled in here from a broken world and battered by the storms of life, perhaps with sin weighing heavy on your heart. Hopeless and lost and alienated from God and dead in the trespasses of your sin. You who keep trying to fill your empty life with pleasure and selfishness, and yet at the end of the day, you still feel empty and dead and meaningless. When will it dawn on you that your temporary pleasures cannot fill eternal yearnings? May I propose to you that nothing in this world will ever satisfy you. May I remind you of that which is of first importance, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross to take away your sins, and that He rose on the third day. And if you would but believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Unbeliever, skeptic, You who were forced here by friends or family, you who hate God and want nothing to do with God, you who maybe came here to watch one of your friends getting baptized, and you can't wait for me to stop speaking so you can get what you came for. I am compelled by the love of Jesus Christ to plead with you and confront you once more with the gospel. Please. Not for frills or thrills or the prospect of any worldly riches or pleasure, but for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. Believe. Please, believe. Do not concern yourself with what you can offer God. It is a free gift of salvation. Us Christians might seem like we have it all together. But we don't. When I was saved, I had nothing to offer God, and nothing subsequent that has come even close to matching His glory. All my good works are but dirty rags. I am a sinner through and through, but it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not by works that no man can boast. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. For the sake of your soul, once more I plead with you, turn to God, believe in Jesus. His blood is abundantly sufficient to take care of your sins. Believe in the gospel. I beg of you. Not in some mystical way. Not in my tone or my eloquence or lack thereof, but in the gospel of Jesus Christ that you hear proclaimed, I beg of you, hear the voice of the eternal God calling your name. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Such is its power. It matters not how you walked in that door. It matters not how empty or full or lost or broken or sinful. Such is its power that you walked in that door, a sinner on your way to hell. But if you would just believe and confess with your mouth, you can walk out that door, a child of God on your way to heaven. Believe. Where is God in the church? Where is God in the church? The voice of God is in the good news, the gospel that we proclaim. O sinner, that you would hear the gospel and be pierced by it, and that you would believe in it. O believer, that you would be so compelled by the love of Christ for you that you would take every opportunity to share the gospel. O church, that we would indeed be the voice of God unto the ends of the world. Let us pray. O Lord, not by our greatness, not by our eloquence, but the power of God through the gospel. May it be that you use us to such an end so as to save souls. O Lord, may we be a church, may we be a people, a church made up of individuals who value the gospel, who live by it, who consider it worth their time, who are so moved by the love of Christ for them that they open their mouths and they tell their neighbors. May we be contented in nothing other than sharing the gospel again and again and again. Oh, that we would be your voice in this broken world that so desperately needs to hear it. Use us, O Lord, I pray. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.